Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is modernizing multifamily marketing. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Lonnie Porter, Executive Vice President and Managing Director with CalCap Properties, and Ryan Kelly, Marketing Director with CalCap Properties. Welcome, everyone.
Well, good to be with you today, Paul.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
No problem. I'm looking forward to this topic. I just kind of want to set the table a little bit. Our listeners know that I'm kind of a dinosaur, and I've been around for quite a while. And when we talk about multifamily marketing, the first thing that comes to my mind, based on my reminiscing about the industry, is walking into a grocery store and seeing several different periodicals that tell you what apartments are available in the area and so forth. We've come a long way since then, haven't we, Lonnie?
We certainly have. In fact, I think it would be very difficult to find anything in print these days to lead you to that apartment anymore. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we haven't got a richer means for people to mine for that opportunity. So that's the good news, is that we've replaced the dinosaur with a Ferrari.
There you go. Well, it's good to know I've been replaced. But let me ask you this, Ryan. You know, the generations that are out there today renting multifamily apartment units, they're a little bit more interested in having things instantly. Tell us a little bit about how you deal with that.
Yeah, for sure. So consumers today have more options than they've ever had before, not just with apartments, but, you know, in general overall. So when it comes to apartment marketing, there's a lot of competition out there. So right now, our focus is making sure that we're putting our best foot forward on all of our platforms, making sure that we have consistent information that's clear, concise, and easy to consume.
And what are some of those ways that you can contact or get the word out about your properties?
Well, right now we have several. I think we're on 30 different ILS feeds. We have, of course, our property website, Google Business, which is a huge attractant for us, and. We have text, chatbot, phone calls, virtual tours, you name it. I mean, we're adapting as technology is allowing.
And Lonnie, up.
Yeah, and those, go ahead. Just wanted to say, Paul, those ILS feeds, you know, that pretty much replaces the old magazines on the rack,
right?
So any number of channels that would attract somebody for a variety of reasons will present to them the opportunity to explore apartments based on whatever kind of actions they've already taken that have led them to that opportunity to view. So, you know, it's very dynamic these days in terms of how the message is delivered, but the important thing is to be out there in a variety of ways so that folks that are interested in something in particular, you know, be it amenities, they're going to be attracted to a different stream of feed opportunities. So just making sure that you've got a good variety out there.
And Lonnie, I wanted to ask you this. We have to dedicate some time every episode to the global pandemic and how it's affected the industry. How has that affected, in specific ways, the pandemic? How has it affected marketing for multifamily? Just to give you one example, I've heard people say that some of the technologies that were available were kind of slow to be adopted, but once the pandemic hit, it put everything on the front burner. What was your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the past, you know, people would be, I would say, the Gen X generation, perhaps, would be unlikely to pick up the phone and call a leasing agent to inquire about the attributes of a property. They would be more likely to kind of check it out stealth-wise and then maybe make their way into the office to say, you know what, you know, I'd like to actually see one of your units. But in allowing them the opportunity to have the text capability or the chatbot capability, they're able to interact without having to make that phone call, but getting concise answers to the specific questions they want, right? They don't want to be marketed to. They want to have answers to very direct questions. So those tools really allow them to do that. Additionally, you know, we have provided a virtualization of the property tour, the classic tour that you would draw somebody into the property for is now more likely to take place online in a virtual environment. So those are also options that the newer generations are more comfortable with exploring instead of actually setting foot on property to make a determination if they are as interested as they thought they were on a surface value.
And Ryan, as far as virtual touring goes, prior to the pandemic, how deeply were you using that? How often was that being used, or was it something that you've been doing for quite a while?
It really was something that we had talked about doing, and we're kind of behind the curve on for a little bit. But once the hype started to seem real with the pandemic, we made an immediate shift to all hands on deck, did as many virtual tours uploaded as possible, and we didn't need to reinvent the wheel by any means with it. What we did was we had our people simply take their cell phone, do a quick personal tour through each one of the floor plans, just as if they would if someone were on site with them. And we just embedded them through YouTube on our websites for people to go on. And it was a great tool for us to have for when people would call in if they were curious about it. We could direct them to the website directly on the property page to alleviate any concerns for them having to come on site at all. And ultimately, we found it to be incredibly successful where we had several people lease really without stepping foot on property.
We got about 3 minutes left, and let's talk a little bit about reviews. That's something that is something that everyone has to deal with in multifamily. And talk a little bit about that. Lonnie, you want to take that?
Yeah, absolutely. So reviews are the lifeblood of a property's success. And as you know, it takes a lot of good reviews to overcome one bad experience that somebody, wants to talk about. Because of that, it's really important to consistently do outreach to garner comments from residents or prospects that have had good experiences. We do this primarily at the success points such as completion of work orders, where our maintenance techs are equipped with what is a simple text link tool they're able to send to that resident right there as they're saying, we're all finished, everything's done. Hey, I just sent you this little link. If you could just click on that, let us know how we did for you, that'd be great. So that would be one touch point that's been very successful. The other, of course, is when somebody is first signing their lease, they've probably gotten a lot of high touch, and that's a very good high point in the relationship to say, hey, let everybody know you moved in and you're happy with your new place. We'd love for you to respond to this link that we've just sent you. So, just taking every opportunity in front of you to be able to have those positive reactions is really important because you're always going to get that one that's going to need 20 to overcome.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got about a minute and a half left. Ryan, I want to ask you, what's your two or three tips you can give to somebody if they get a review that is something that's less than desirable? How do you respond to that?
Well, the first rule is always respond. You can't ignore it. People want to see that you're engaging with not just the good, but especially the bad. They want to know that people actually care enough to, provide feedback. But the best rule of thumb, I would say, is, kind of hear them out, listen to their concerns, ask them to take the conversation, offline, provide another form of contact, whether that be an email or a phone number, and just, you know, kind of be ready to hear them out. I mean, there's obviously a reason they're putting the review out there. They're frustrated for some reason or another, and, you know, the best course of action would be hear them out, try to come to a common ground solution, and then ultimately I always ask if they would feel comfortable changing the review based on their experience and how we handled it.
And do you get good success with that?
I would say so, yeah, and it comes down from customer service. I mean, that's really what the name of the game is. It's they're customers of our community, and, you know, we're asking them to be referrals and, you know, brand ambassadors essentially for our communities, and, you know, we want to make sure that everyone's, you know, happy and comfortable doing that.
All right, fantastic. Well, we're going to break it here for this segment. We're talking today about modernizing multifamily marketing. We're going to be back in our next segment, and we're going to talk about using data as a sales tool. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is modernizing multifamily marketing. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Lonnie Porter, Executive Vice President and Managing Director with CalCap Properties, and Ryan Kelly, Marketing Director with CalCap Properties. I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So at the end of the previous segment, I mentioned that we're going to be talking about using data as a sales tool. I want to ask you, Ryan, to start out with. Data is something that is much, much different today than it was years ago as far as how it's collected, who you can get it from, and so forth. Give us kind of a general picture of data and multifamily and how to get it.
Sure. So we're only as good as our data tells us we are. We rely heavily on the data provided by our CRM, but to get it in there, our on-site teams are responsible for timely and accurate data entry. The data goes from, you know, our ad spend to our efficiency and our response times and things like that to, you know, the nitty-gritty of why people aren't renting with us at a specific community. It also provides accountability by showing individual agent scores, if you will, that shows how much they're in the system actively engaging with the prospects and residents. And that gives us plenty of opportunities for, you know, if we need to have conversations about improvement and training and things like that, or if we need to adjust pricing and, you know, all the way down to turn times. If availability is a concern, how long are we taking to turn our units and things like that? So, you know, we're in the data just as much as, you know, anybody else is in any other industry. And we rely heavily on that to make our day-to-day decisions.
And Lonnie, how have you seen the data change over the years as far as the amount of data and how in-depth it is and specific it is?
Well, I think we used to just take the general key performance indicator buckets, right, on a very high level, and think that we were learning all there was to know. How it's evolved is that we've learned to be much more granular about the sub buckets underneath those high-level KPIs. So, for example, you know, occupancy, let's just take that. Occupancy and lease rate. If you're not looking further to see how many people that are engaging by either visiting your page or making a call or a text out, if you're not taking that further to see how many out of that are actually coming to take the next step, which is to tour. And beyond that, how many that are touring are actually completing a lease application. Now, if you only look at it in terms of how many people lease from you and what your occupancy is, you're going to miss out on an opportunity to improve going from that engagement to actually getting people to tour. And likewise, if they tour and you're finding a higher success rate at one property than another based on that conversion to actually leasing, you know, seeing that data, finding those anomalies, the outliers, and being able to apply some of the methods that are being used at the properties more successful, you can see what's moving the dial and put those methods into practice. So that's kind of what's changed a bit, is that we're not just taking the high level, we're going more granular, and then we're trying to take what we learn and put it into a new practice and watch those results improve. So very effective proof of how the data is lending itself to our everyday practices.
Ryan, is the data that you're getting, most of it coming internally, or are you using third-party sources?
It's all coming internally. We've trained our call center here at the corporate office, as well as all of our on-site teams, to take the extra 30 seconds to enter the appropriate and correct information, whether that be why they didn't rent, the response times and things like that. So we have trained every single person to take the extra time to do it right the first time, so that we have that information that is as current and as accurate as it is.
And Lonnie, Go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, and I might also add, you know, it's absolutely critical that we track our response times. That is probably the most key aspect that starts this entire chain of opportunity events. Because if somebody is reaching out to us and we're not responding to them within the first day, within the first hour, you know, the odds of them taking the next step diminish it significantly. So,
yeah, I mean, to go off of that, I mean, we have it dialed in to where we know that if we don't have a response out to a prospect within the first 6 hours of their inquiry coming through to us, the likelihood of them following up with us drops by 50%.
Mm. And Lonnie, I know that CalCap has properties in different states around the country. How do you compare data from market to market? Is it something that is even a concern, or is it something that's important to try and make that comparison?
Well, you know, there are some aspects that can be geographically driven. But for the most part, I think, you know, human tendency is that we all want to be approached in a professional way. We all want to get a response that's timely. So there are some axioms that translate to every market. But others, you know, there is a difference. There are some areas that are more, can feel more tertiary than others. And so it is really imperative that you're taking advantage of every opportunity within that market to be successful with that conversion. So, you know, a resident has so many opportunities in, say, the market of Phoenix to be able to choose a place to live. So every interaction that you have with them and the way in which you provide them that information is going to set you apart in terms of that competition. So if we are doing all the right things, we're providing them with complete information to make a decision. If we're making the application process seamless, and also we're giving them the resource to be able to guide them, you know, we're going to have more success than the next guy that may not be returning that call till the next day, that may not have a resource to be able to help them through the process, dedicated to getting them to a completed application. You know, those kinds of things are going to set you apart from the competition, no matter where the property resides.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Ryan, I want to, and we've got about 2.5 minutes left, I want to ask you about how data affects your ability to budget your advertising dollars.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, all the data allows us to stretch the ad dollars as far as possible. We've been able to cut certain sources and focus more on our heavy hitters that bring the most bang for the buck. And, you know, that's allowed us to cut our cost per lease by nearly 40% year to date, actually. So we're providing higher efficiency marketing spend for our owners and investors while simultaneously providing the best possible experience for our prospects and our residents.
And what kind of feedback do you get from prospects about your advertisements and so forth? Are they, I guess the proof of the pudding is if they walk in the door or take a tour. What type of response do you see?
Sure. So before we really started to focus in on these metrics and stuff, we occasionally would get some of the people coming in saying, well, I couldn't find the availability, I couldn't find the pricing, or it was hard to reach you by phone or something along those lines. And, you know, I took that upon myself to just ensure that we don't have any more of those interactions. We do quality assurance checks across all of our platforms. We make sure that our on-site teams have up-to-date collateral that they can hand walk-in prospects or people that tour. Basically, for me, it was just cutting out any of the instant disqualifiers of inconsistent information and bad photos and things like that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think that goes overlooked, Lonnie, is we've got about a minute left. Is a lot of times people have out-of-date photos or photos that aren't so nice that were posted. Is that something that you think is important to try and correct quickly?
Oh, absolutely. And it goes even further. When you first take on a property, you know, it's important to look at the historical, to go out there, do a search, see what comes back. And prior ownership, prior management, there will be lingering pages out there of information with inconsistent information. So doing that cleanup work is really important to be able to go out, get a fresh start for that property so that these inconsistencies that Ryan was just talking about don't rear up. And it's really, you know, it's owning your Google page, your business page. It's owning your shadow information that is long in the tooth and perhaps somebody hasn't addressed. But cleanup is important in making sure you're continuously doing your quality assurance review of what information is coming up out there.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back to we're talking today about modernizing multifamily marketing. We're going to be back next segment. We're going to talk a little bit about streamlining the leasing process. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is especially important and very timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is modernizing multifamily marketing. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Lonnie Porter, Executive Vice President and Managing Director with CalCap Properties, and Ryan Kelly, Marketing Director with CalCap Properties. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT a easy business decision for multifamily. So we've talked a lot about where we were years ago with multifamily marketing and how it's been updated with all the different technologies that are available, as well as using data as a sales tool. And now we're going to talk a little bit about streamlining the leasing process. So, Ryan, I want to ask you, the leasing process in the past could be somewhat cumbersome. Let's talk a little about some of the steps that you're using to streamline that process.
Sure. So I think the first thing that you need to do is find a CRM platform that works for your team as a whole. While looking for a platform, it's important to find a system that provides a comprehensive look for everyone in the organization that would be involved in the leasing process. That goes from your leasing associate to the community manager to the regionals and everyone in between. Especially for us here at CalCapa, we have a call center where our team handles overflow calls and communications from the communities to where if a prospect or a resident calls and it rings three times, that call gets kicked over to our call center. So it's incredibly important to have a platform where our call center can be essentially just an extension of the on-site office, to where they can go in and look at a prospect or a resident profile in real time, just as if they were sitting right there.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And Lonnie, what are some of the things that you've seen that have happened in recent years that have been different from past years as far as how to streamline the process?
Well, I think the collection of the information is better. The new systems of today are better integrated to the actual lease and application platforms. So the key part of that is to eliminate some of the redundancy that is generally part of that application process. So let's say that somebody comes in, makes that first engagement, as Ryan noted earlier, taking the time to get the accurate information, of that person, their name, what they're interested in, getting their email address, a few other items of information. But anything that's relevant to actually the fields within an application to lease, to not have to go back and recapture any of that. So anything that you touch in the first step can transfer to the next step in the process so that it's a smaller set of ask, so that you're only having to ask for the next 25% of information that's needed for that stage. And likewise, when you get to the end of the chain, say you get to a successful application where you're moving towards a lease, again, all the information that's captured on your platforms integrating together to be able to reduce the amount of information that's now required to complete the lease is not only is it important because it eliminates a lot of room for error or inconsistency in the data that's collected, but it's also a better customer service experience.
And Ryan, what type of feedback do you get from your on-site teams when it comes to streamlining the process?
Well, I think the feedback is generally positive. They're appreciative of the systems we put in place, and especially with the call center that we have there, because that just essentially allows us to be leasing consistently throughout the day. To where if someone on site is taking a tour with a resident, then a call comes in that allows our call center to come in and pick up the slack there. So it allows them a lot more freedom to get their day to day stuff done on site, and our call center is working at full capacity to facilitate the lead flow and the scheduling of tours and whatnot that are normally required from every person that's on site. So it's kind of an all hands on deck, so to speak, but we've been able to segment it out to where no one's bogged down at any one given moment, and the slack's picked up immediately if there were to be any.
Do you find there's any cross-selling opportunities?
Of course. I mean, in having, the call center here, it's great because, the call centers, their job is to answer calls for all of our communities. We don't have any one person that's assigned to one property. And the beauty behind that is they have the knowledge and the insight of all of our communities to be able to say, okay, well, you want, X community, but right now we don't have any availability that fits your time frame, but we have one a mile up the road that's got availability today. Looks like they can get you on schedule for a tour in the next, couple hours. Does that work for you? And, more often than not, people are, looking for an area versus a specific property. So they're really open to at least hearing more about that community. And we found a lot of success doing the cross-sell.
You know, Lonnie, there's a term I love, and that's ghost leasing. Talk a little bit about ghost leasing.
Well, ghost leasing is actually just allowing a prospect on their own to be able to go all the way from engaging with the initial lead source all the way through to executing a lease without ever having to step foot on the property. And we're finding that, especially as you mentioned earlier, with the pandemic and how we have born certain initiatives or new technologies out of that experience, this would be a classic example. This can include even an on-site tour where they self-tour, where we have arranged to allow them to enter a unit that has been, left available for them through either a keyed lock system or some other method to be able to actually come on property at that prescribed time that they have self-determined and go in and actually physically see the unit itself. So they can do a soup-to-nuts experience of actually determining where they're going to live, executing that lease, touring themselves, and never having to actually engage.
Yeah, I mean
on
that
property.
That certainly is something that 5 years ago wasn't available. Ryan, I want to ask you. We've got about 3 minutes left. I want to ask you because you had mentioned that you're on a lot of different platforms that you've got to opportunities out there on a lot of different platforms. How can you avoid confusion between those platforms? How does streamlining help with that?
Well, the great thing is that we have a pretty cool back-end system that allows us to syndicate the same information throughout all the different platforms. But that being said, it's technology, and technology is great, but there are issues with it. So every once in a while, we find that a certain site didn't update or anything like that. So that's why we go back to the quality assurance where we do the website reviews and the ILS reviews. But on the back end, we have everything syndicated out to where as soon as a property manager or a on-site person enters information, within hours, that information is consistent across the board.
Okay. And
also, I'd say, Paul, it's really important when you select your technologies, which through our selection process, one of the most key questions we ask is how does this integrate with our accounting software? How does this integrate with our, automated e-lease signing process? How does this automate at all the different touch points so that we have the best technology that is most complementary to one another in terms of the success of integration. So not all programs integrate well with others. not everyone plays well with others, put it that way.
Yeah.
But if you do your research properly, you do your homework, and you put that as a focus to keep in mind, you should be able to eliminate and alleviate as much inefficiency in that technology handoff through the chain as
right.
possible.
We've got about a minute left, and I just want to ask, because we've talked about a lot of different things with this, but what about in the term instant disqualifiers? Ryan, you want to tell us a little bit about that and how streamlining can help?
Yeah, sure. So that kind of goes back to where we were talking about the photos and inconsistent information, because, these are consumers, and we're asking them to, make a pretty significant life commitment here by leasing in our community. So, they're hopefully doing their research on us. So the key thing there is to make sure that information is consistent across the board, to where if they saw, a price on one site and it's completely different on another, it causes, you to doubt, the property and making sure that they're, up to your standards as what you would look for as a prospective resident. So it's just, clean pictures, consistent information, and readily accessible contact information are, really the big key points that we try to make sure that our residents have available to them.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back in a minute or two, but we are going to be talking about communication inbound and outbound as it applies to modernizing multifamily marketing. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing modernizing multifamily marketing. I'm Paul Marks. And joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Lonnie Porter, Executive Vice President and Managing Director with CalCap Properties, and Ryan Kelly, Marketing Director with CalCap Properties. Lonnie, I'll start with you. Let's talk a little bit about the communications, both inbound and outbound. Just give us a general idea of what that means.
Well, you know, I appreciate that opportunity because several times during our conversation this morning, we have actually referred to our customer call center. But really, you know, I think of them as our customer communications center. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because, as we've mentioned, there are more than just phone calls coming into this group. There are chats and texts and other methods for reaching out that the call center does either immediate response to or will do outbound follow-up for. So that's one aspect of the fact that, you know, they handle multiple communications, not just phone calls. But aside from that, you know, they take on the role of communicating with our existing resident base as well, not just, you know, a current prospect. And this is really important because our residents, you know, need to feel when they reach out that the person they're talking to is could be physically in that leasing office just steps away from them. And how they're made to feel that way is by being prepared and knowledgeable and being able to speak to and make decisions just as a person that was acting as an on-site assistant community manager or leasing associate would be able to do. So from that aspect, they're able to schedule work orders. They're able to speak to concerns, questions for follow-up. You know, there is a variety of things that they are communicating with our residents about. And then, you know, just to give you one example, you know, we had a property that had actually had a fire. And as a result of that, we had to relocate over 100 residents to hotels for a couple of weeks. And that customer communications center, not only did they take and reach out to every one of those residents every day to give them an update on what was going on with their property, but they communicated with them when they would have to be moved to a different hotel because of the period of days. They would give them updates as to, you know, we've provided ice in all the units, we've taken care of trashing out your food in the refrigerators, getting their permission along the way to take certain actions on their behalf because they couldn't be on property. So those kinds of communications would have been overwhelming for an on-site office office staff of, say, four. To be able to keep up with. The idea that we have a resource like that that is able to respond to those one-off emergencies, you know, it's actually something that raises the bar on the expectation we put on all of ourselves when we see the kind of work that the customer communications team is doing.
That is a fantastic story. I talk to a lot of people in the industry, obviously, and I have not heard anything like that. I mean, that's a great use of those resources. And Ryan, I want to ask you, your team in that communications center, they have to have some special training as well as some special qualities. Like, obviously, bilingual is something that you have to have available. Tell us a little bit about how you put that all together.
Yeah, so I mean, our customer service team, they go through the same training that our on-site leasing teams go through. We have an in-depth, you know, first week of training. We have a dedicated training staff here at CalCAP that gives them the full experience, and we also have a continued learning program through an online resource. It's called CalCAP University, is what we've named it here internally, but it's a full access to training resources at any given time and moment. Another thing that we've done was we've ensured that every single one of the team members at the call center, they have a binder that's probably, you know, 6 inches thick, and it has every community that we have in our portfolio right now, and how many units, how many parking spots, you know, all the amenities between it, all the floor plans listed with their sizing and current pricing and everything in between, so that, you know, all they really have to do is just determine what community a prospect or a resident is calling about, and with a couple flips of a page, they're right there on site.
And I'm assuming that when someone makes a call, the call gets answered, as opposed to
We have a significantly higher answer rate than the industry average, given that, like I said before, it does ring on-site, but after three rings, it kicks over to our call center team, to where I think we're at about a 94% answer rate right now with all of our calls that come through. And the beauty behind the CRM that we have in place is there's a notification that pings both the on-site team and the call center team if there's a voicemail that's been left or a call that's been missed for us to do an immediate callback and follow-up.
That's fantastic. Lottie, I want to ask you, does the call center handle any – I know you mentioned that the one great example about after there was a fire on a property, but what other things are you able to use them for other than just your marketing activities?
Well, the customer service aspect of it is really the where they shine the most. So, you know, if somebody is new and they have not made a payment before online and they're having struggle with that, you know, they're well-versed in that. They're able to walk them through, teach them how to get initiated on the resident portal, how to walk through the steps of setting up an automated payment or a one-time payment. So, you know, that's just one example of the kind of help they're able to provide outside of just helping with the sale process in terms of the attributes of the property for a lease interest. Aside from that, they're able to respond to, you know, work order questions or issues. They can walk them through and give them the most basic, you know, kind of steps to walk through to maybe resolve the issue for themselves, to help determine the severity of it, to be able to know whether this is something that should be escalated or take them through a work order process and give them an estimate of when they might be responding to them. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways that we expect them to be just like another resource on the property, and that's really how we modeled the customer communications team to be, which is literally an adjunct to those resources that are on property.
And Ryan, what kind of feedback do you get from the on-site teams about the interaction they're having with the communication center? I imagine they love it.
Oh yeah, of course, because it frees up their day.
Sure.
You know, like I said before, if they're doing a tour, if they're handling a resident issue or situation, or they're walking the property with maintenance or something like that, or landscaping, anything in between, those calls are getting answered, and they know that they don't have to worry about rushing back to the phone to where they can give the best possible service to the prospects and residents that they're physically dealing with, knowing that they have the call center to fall back on to handle those overflow.
Yeah, I mean, and I would imagine that, especially in the last 18 months with the global pandemic, that anything, excuse me, that can help the on-site teams would be much appreciated. Lonnie, don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Anything that helps provide greater comfort to a resident, knowing that they don't have to, go into an office setting where there may be other residents waiting as well. Just being able to limit the necessity of that and know that you can have any matter handled virtually.
Yeah. Well, I want to, we could talk about this topic for another segment, but I want to transition into a different area. And Ryan, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the multifamily industry, as also a little bit about your role at CalCap, and also how someone could reach you if they had any questions. Got about a minute and a half.
Sure. So I've been in the multifamily industry for probably about 6 years now, and I actually came from software marketing, and I was enjoying what I was doing there, but it was very repetitive, and it didn't provide a lot of excitement. Let's say that. So I was actually at a networking event and started chatting with a gentleman who was a real estate investor and owner, and he was basically talking about how his biggest concern and problem is his marketing. So, after a quick conversation, I decided to join his group and just really enjoy the diversity of, obviously there's different asset types that, require different amounts of, marketing and resources and materials and things like that. Just the day-to-day diversity of, not any property is, no two properties are the same, I guess, is where I'm going with that. So the challenges associated with figuring out the best course of action to get them advertised is really exciting for me.
Fantastic. If someone wanted to reach you, how can they do it?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Ryan Kelly, and marketing director here at CalCap Properties. Got a big smiley face on my picture there, so feel free to reach out.
All right, thank you. Lonnie, let's talk a little bit about you and how you got into the business. Got about a minute and a half left.
You bet. Well, I tell you, I don't know that a minute and a half would actually explain it entirely, but I will say I did start on the commercial lending side. We did lend on multifamily properties and other asset types, but, there was a heavy emphasis on multifamily and single-family portfolios. That lending activity, because it was on the commercial side, we did a great amount of underwriting of the underlying assets, which helped me to more than familiarize myself with the industry, how it worked, and what the different machinations were, meaning it wasn't just about the appreciation of the property from a valuation standpoint. It was about the underlying cash flows. It was about what set a property apart, what gave more comfort around the success of a property. You knew that it was going to appreciate in value, but you didn't know that they were going to be able to achieve the cash flows necessary for the debt service that they were going to be experiencing with the loan. So let's just say a lot of education preceded my actual involvement. So at that point, I did enter into a partnership with a team. We went out and had acquired about 60 single-family assets at one point to test a theory, and the theory was, hey, if we bought thousands of these undervalued assets, I bet we could cash flow these the same value they would have had at full valuation. We'll wait for the market to come back, and we'll probably, you know, make a killing. Well, the truth is that we ended up creating the first SFR REIT in the industry to go public, and that was American Residential Properties. We ended up taking those 60 assets to over 20,000. And then with the acquisition by American Homes for Rent, of course, that number skyrocketed in that combination. So, you know, there were a lot of analyst tours, analyst questions, rating agency questions around, you know, what is different about SFR versus multifamily. And we had about 15% of our $2.5 billion portfolio were multifamily assets to complement the SFR portfolio. But, you know, I learned a huge appreciation for having one asset with many residents versus many assets with single residents, if you can think about it sure. in those terms. So I think I was probably really well suited to take the helm here at CalCap Properties and focus on what is primarily multifamily assets, though we do have single family portfolios, because, you know, I have a full appreciation for the industry across both spectrums and a full appreciation for what it takes in terms of the property personnel and the infrastructure from a support network to be able to provide a good return for our owners that we manage for by, you know, making sure that we're putting the emphasis on the right kind of experience to make a community out of a property. So that's kind of, you know, the full life cycle for me. It gets me up every day with a spring in my step because there's so much about this industry to love, and there's so much reward in seeing the results of your labor. So it's been a great experience in the multifamily industry.
Well, fantastic. That's a great story. And we are going to have to break it here, though. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.